Luke 12:16, please. Jennifer, I took care of that over there.
Yeah.
I snuck over there during the prayer, to be honest about it. So, anyway. That's right. Amen. Well, I'm glad you all were in a good mood this morning. Luke chapter 12, please. There's a man who came to Jesus in Luke 12. And he asked him to settle a dispute about an inheritance. And so in Luke 12, what Jesus had been doing, though, he'd been teaching about forgiveness and he'd been teaching about the kingdom of God and all that. Very important spiritual truth. And so then this man comes with this question about settling this dispute. And so Jesus basically tells him, look, that's not what I came to do. And he says, I'm not come to settle disputes and inheritances and all that kind of thing. But he gives him a story to put emphasis on why he did come. And so the great storyteller Jesus gives us a story, a parable, beginning in Luke 12 and verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, So you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The issue in this story is not possessions. The issue in this story is not the amount of wealth that one may have. The issue, however, in this story is what we do with those possessions and what our attitude is toward the wealth that God gives us. That is the issue that Jesus is getting at here. Now, there is a tragic mistake made in this story today that I want to talk about. And this is a tragic mistake that we need to avoid at all costs. The warning in this story that Jesus gave is this. For those who try to seek satisfaction in material possession, material things, and neglect the spiritual, then you are in danger of losing the most important thing of value that you may possess. And that is the very thing that Jesus is talking about in this story. He tells this story of this farmer. He tells this story of his success and all that he did. So I'll begin this morning with this thought, and that is to look at the root of the problem here. Number one, he centered his life on himself rather than God. Now, this is the root of the problem. And you see it here in the story. He neglected the spiritual and catered to the physical. So that is the problem that you see here. And so in this story, what you find here, and you see in the text in verse 16 and 17 and 18, look at how many times he uses the word I. He uses the pronoun I six times. Four times he uses the pronoun my. You know, I'm going to do this. I'll do this. And I'm going to go over here, and build greater barns and all that. So again, see the emphasis here. What he's doing is living a life of self-centeredness. He's placing all the attention on himself rather than God. And that's the problem that you see in this story. This is the mistake that he made. This is the great tragedy that you see here. He had three problems. He forgot God. He forgot others. And really what he forgot was he forgot the thought of the eternity of his soul. And so that's the problem that's going on here. Jesus doesn't rebuke him for being wealthy. He doesn't rebuke him for being a good farmer and all that. That's not what you see here. But the rebuke comes because what he's doing is placing the emphasis in the wrong area. It is the attitude of his life. For example, there are many wealthy people in the Bible. Abraham was a wealthy man. You look at David. David was a wealthy man. Solomon was a wealthy man. Job was a wealthy man. You come to the New Testament. Joseph of Arimathea, who came and you know, got the body of Christ, who had the tomb prepared after the death of Christ on the cross for Jesus to be buried. He was a very wealthy man. So, you know, Jesus is not condemning that. But what he is condemning here is the neglect of the spiritual when we put the priority on the physical rather than the spiritual in life. And so that is the great tragedy here and the great mistake that he made. Now he's talking here about what I'm going to do. And so he says, what I'll do, since I have no room to store my crops, then I will do this. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, I'll store all my crops, my goods, and I will say to my soul. So you see the context here of what's going on? Why would he use the word my? Folks, everything we have comes from the hand of God. God put us on this planet. The resources that we have, the income that we have, the things that material things that we find pleasure in, and nothing wrong with those things, all that comes from God's earth that he created. So here he's saying, you know, this is, you know, my stuff. This is my success. This is my priority, is basically what he's saying here. And so that's the mistake that you see here that he made. Now, second of all is this. What he had here was a real false sense of security. Do you remember what happened this past Tuesday? Do you follow the stock market? Do you have a 401k or IRA? Do you know what happened Tuesday? The biggest drop in the Dow Jones since about 20 years. I was reading about that, and here's what I read that was interesting. Someone said, if you think you had a bad day Tuesday, think about this. It's talking about Bill Gates. In one day, he lost $3 billion. Now, you think about that. Warren Buffett and others, you know, lost millions just in one day. So what we're doing here, you know, is trying to bring it down to where we live. This man had a false sense of security. His security was in his wealth. His security was in building greater barns. His security was in all this stuff, you know, that he had and that he was doing. That is where the tragic mistake is made so many times. And so what it does there is produce a false sense of security. That's what happened in his life. So the Bible says here in the story that what was demanded of him, though, was his soul. Now, the word demanded in the story means this. It means the accounting day has come. It means it's time to pay up. It's time to really face the issue of life. And so the Bible tells us here that that's what was done. He had plenty. He said, I'm going to lay this up. And, you know, just take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, is there anything wrong with planning? No. Is there anything wrong with, you know, retirement funds? No, there's nothing wrong with those things. Is there anything wrong with, you know, trying to invest in the future and things like that? No, it's not. But here's the problem. The problem is, a lot of times, what that does, though, is give one a false sense of security. You see, the things that we have in life are of this life. We enjoy them. We find pleasure in them. You know, they do a lot of good for us, but the things of this life are of this life. In other words, we can't take it with us when we die. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The things of this world is of this world. Now, another thought that I had here in this story is this. This man made a lot of good decisions. He's very successful. He's wealthy, farmer, made good decisions. He knew how to farm. He knew what to do. He knew how to plan. Made a lot of good decisions. However, there were some bad decisions that he made. And here's what I want you to think about. The surplus that he had was going to be stored up for himself. What should we do with the surplus that God gives us? You know, what I'm thinking about here is this. What Jesus thought would be is this. What are you going to do with the surplus? I'm sure that he had people who worked for him who probably could have needed food. I'm sure there's people who lived in the village that needed food. I'm sure he could have looked around and saw needs of people that he could have, you know, used that surplus to help meet those needs. Now see, this wasn't the grain that he was putting in his barns. The Bible says he was putting his goods in the barn. That means he had a bunch of stuff. This man had a lot of material possession in his life, which nothing wrong with that. But you see, what he did was this, he forgot others. And what God wants us to remember in our surplus is this, we need to think about others. We need to think about what we can do with what God has given us. And I see this as being a great, great truth in this story. So he made a lot of good decisions with what he was doing here, but you know, what he really missed out on was the most important thing in life. So the greatest tragedy in life, though, is to really have that false sense of security. About the security that what, you know, the material things of this life can bring. Book of Ecclesiastes says this, that if a man finds satisfaction in silver, that man will never be satisfied. It's like Rockefeller said, you know, Rockefeller was asked, how many millions does it take you to be, you know, satisfied? He said, this 1 million more, this 1 million more, this 1 million more. So you see, the soul cannot be satisfied with those things. Now, there's another thought here that I want to share with you. Why was this the worst possible decision that this man could make? Neglecting his soul, neglecting the spiritual, was the worst possible decision that he could make. Why would that be true? Here's why that would be true. You know, what we preach and what I believe in the grace of God, I really do. And I've had a lot of mistakes in my life. And I know through God's grace that you know, He has helped me to recover from those mistakes, and He's brought me back from those mistakes that I've made in my life. That is the grace of God. And I believe in that. And I believe that's what Jesus came to do. He came to put the pieces back together. However, there is one bad, tragic mistake that we can never recover from. And that is seen right here in this story. That is why this story is so tragic. You know, you look at this man and you think, well, you know, there are good things about him, and you know, you see that, but really the sadness of the story is, you know, he really did make the biggest mistake that a person could ever make. There used to be an evangelist that was very popular here in America, particularly here in the South. His name was Harold South. And he was famous for preaching a message called God's Three Deadlines. And he preached that sermon all over the South and really all over the world. He went preaching that message. What we're talking about here is this. God can recover the losses in our life. He can bring us back from the mistakes in our life. But there's a line here that you cross that we cannot recover from. And that's exactly what happened to this man. This night, thy soul will be required. In other words, tonight, you're going to die, and what's going to happen? And you see, he failed to prepare for that. He prepared for everything else. He prepared for all the material things in life. He prepared to take care of his family and all those things. But what he did not prepare for was eternity. And so that night, his soul was required. Now listen to what Jesus said in verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? It means to have spiritual abundance. It means to have a relationship with Him. To be rich toward God means that we do not neglect the most important decision that we need to make in life. That's what it means to be rich toward God. The greatest mistake that anyone can make is to say no to Jesus Christ. To say no to the cross. To say no to His invitation of salvation. That is the great tragedy in this story. That is the great mistake. Now, what's the promise of the Bible? Here's the promise of the Bible. According to John 1:12, for those, Jesus said, who come to me, then I will give you the power to become a child of God. That's the invitation. Jesus said in Romans, He said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. And then the Bible says in Matthew, Jesus said it this way. He said, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. So that's the promise of the Bible. The promise of the Bible is that we can prepare for eternity in this life by trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Don't make the greatest mistake that you could ever make. Don't let your decision be this man's decision. Prepare for eternity by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the truth of Scripture. Now, Lord, as we think about this story today, it just brings a soberness to our thinking today and to our heart and mind. And that is this, that eternity is before us. And the greatest and best thing we could do in this life is to prepare for eternity. And we do that by trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Father, I pray for those today who need to take that step in their life. I pray for those today, Lord, who need to make that decision of trusting in Jesus Christ. Lord, today we just thank you for the promises of the Bible, the promise that you give us of eternal life, the promise of knowing that eternity can be ours through a relationship with you. Lord, today I just pray for those who need to make that choice today, who need to make that decision today and prepare for eternity. Father, we thank you for all the good things in life that you give us. We thank you for all the material things that we have. And Lord, we know this is just from your hand. It's a gift that you've given us. And Lord, you've given all these things for us to enjoy. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the pleasures that we find in life and in your creation and all that we have to enjoy. We thank you for all those things. You're such a good God. But Lord, today the question is this. What do we do with those things? Do we help others? Do we look for the needs? Do we do what we can in building the kingdom of God? And as the Bible says, what this is an investment in heaven. It is laying up treasure in heaven. And when we do that, then the Bible says we are rich toward you. We thank you for that. Father, just help us in our attitudes, help us in our management, and help us in those areas where we need help. But Lord, this morning we just pray for those who need to make this decision to prepare for eternity, that they would come today and say yes to this invitation. In your name we pray. Amen.